This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 29th. Coming up, we'll have a look at the upcoming race for state representative in the 104th District, a competitive race with an incumbent, a 22-year incumbent, Bill Black, facing a newcomer, challenger Lori DeYoung. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The University of Illinois wants to slow down hiring in preparation for a possible recession. In an email to everyone on the school's three-campus system yesterday, U of I President Joseph White said contingency plans are in the making to face the economic crisis. That includes many open jobs not being filled in order to cut down on expenses.
I've been through recessions before, and what I learned is that it is important to plan for the worst and hope for the best, and that's exactly what we're doing here.
White says the U of I will make sure the financial crisis won't impact academic standards or jeopardize students' access to courses or health care. Student trustees on the U of I's three campuses, meanwhile, think a goodwill gesture on administrators' part will go a long way toward changing the system's financial atmosphere. They're requesting those making $150,000 or more to accept a two-year salary freeze. Urbana campus trustee Paul Schmidt says given these financial times, he's afraid the board will again raise tuition to make up the difference for average administrative raises. Schmidt says the proposal already has achieved one goal by generating conversation among faculty, grad students, and even some administrators. He says it's up to campus leaders to follow suit.
Will this set a tone in the board members' minds, you know, the appointed board members, when we go in to negotiate tuition and fees? Will they realize that, you know, we've come to play ball on this issue and that the students are really going to stand up and represent their constituencies? I think they will.
The trustees' proposal applies only to administrators in that salary range and not to faculty. It's not clear how much money a two-year freeze would generate, but Springfield campus trustee James Winters estimates in the area of $250,000. Urbana Chancellor Richard Herman says the idea should be considered. Champaign City Council members heard predictions of a gloomy financial future at last night's study session. Officials told the council the city could be between $800,000 and $2 million short for the fiscal year beginning next July. Council member at large Deborah Finan says while the city might be taking in less revenue, it's not in as dire straits as other communities.
The city of Champaign and Champaign County as a whole does better than the national averages on unemployment because of the university, because of our health care here.
City manager Steve Carter says $2 million would make up 3% of the city's general fund. He says cities on the east and west coasts are seeing shortfalls of as much as 20%. City staffers will work up plans for cutting spending in next year's budget and present them to the council in January. Also last night, the city council endorsed the staff recommendation for a $20.3 million property tax levy for next year. That would likely go down by a bit. They expect assessments on existing properties to increase by 2.8%. A shoplifting charge against the director of the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum has resulted in his firing. Sean Crawford has more.
Rick Beard's August arrest for retail theft only came to light last week. He had been apprehended for shoplifting earlier in the year as well, but it also was not publicly known. Beard was on suspension since the news broke, but Governor Rod Blagojevich has now made the decision to fire him. Dave Blanchett with the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency says it was shocking to learn of Beard's legal troubles.
This was an item that he did not inform us had occurred. This was an incident that no one saw fit to inform the administration of, and therefore we were unaware of it. We're not in the process of monitoring the private lives of employees.
Blanchett was complimentary of Beard, saying he's done a good job. Staff at the Library and Museum performed an inventory over the weekend of historic Lincoln artifacts, including clothing, documents, and other items. Blanchett says there's no indication anything is missing. Beard has been on the job since 2006 and earned an annual salary of nearly $250,000. Blanchett says no plans for a full-time replacement have been made at this time. I'm Sean Crawford.
Emergency personnel around the University of Illinois campus in Urbana-Champaign continue to fine-tune their efforts of dealing with various emergencies. An exercise yesterday consisted of a mock oil spill at the U of I's oil tanks on the southwest end of campus. It included about 20 campus utility workers along with Champaign and Urbana fire officials. The simulation called for fuel to be spilled from a break in a hose connected to a fuel truck and then flow toward a storm drain which eventually feeds into the Embra River. For the exercise, a few hundred gallons of water was used in place of oil. Keith Erickson is the U of I's manager of utility distribution. He says it's important to have the necessary gear in place to handle such a spill should an emergency occur.
One of the purposes of this drill is to demonstrate the deployment of equipment that will arrest the spill and contain it and not let it get out to the environment. So we always do a minimal deployment of booms and simulate building a siphon dam and other techniques to contain any release of petroleum products.
Erickson says the annual exercise at the Abbott Power Plant Fuel Farm also gives all involved a chance to test out communications equipment. The location where one of the most well-known Abraham Lincoln photographs was taken now has a permanent marker. Urbana marching band members substituted a famous lyric with Abe Lincoln as they played at the unveiling for the marker, the latest in the statewide Looking for Lincoln series. Hal Smith, who heads the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, says the marker stands at Main and Race in downtown Urbana, where a photography studio once stood in the 1850s. Smith says the resulting picture is evidence of how Lincoln used the budding art of photography the way modern politicians use television.
It was another way to reach a large audience. He would tell his stories, give his speeches. They would take photographs and add those to those stories. And he reached literally thousands of people across the country by using photography. He didn't enjoy it very much, but he actually knew its value.
Another Looking for Lincoln marker will be installed Saturday in the Champaign County town of Homer. Smith hopes to see more than 200 monuments up before the 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth next February. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Here's another indicator of an unusual election year. The tightest legislative election in eastern Illinois involves not an open seat nor a vulnerable rookie lawmaker, but one of the state's most senior legislators. 22 years in the State House have brought Bill Black of Danville a high profile and a devoted following. But an unusual chain of events has led to a battle with first-term Vermilion County Board member Lori DeYoung. This was supposed to be a much different race until this past spring. Veteran Republican Representative Bill Black announced more than a year ago that he would retire, this time for good. You see, Black had threatened to quit a number of times in the past, often in a fit of anger on the House floor. Black has gained a storied reputation for airing it out.
I've been around a long time, and let me tell you what the word discourages means when you hear from a government official. We don't want you to do that. You know what that is. That's intimidation.
But last year's retirement announcement was deliberate and much lower key. Danville's Mayor Scott Eisenhower won Black's endorsement. Eisenhower ran unopposed in the February primary, and 2 months later, he backed out. Re-enter Bill Black.
I decided that, I think I'll stick around and maybe I can wave goodbye to the governor in 2010 rather than have him wave goodbye to me in 2008.
Last February, with Eisenhower on the ballot and Black off, Democrat Lori DeYoung announced she was getting into the race. The picture then changed, but DeYoung decided to stick with it.
It is, in many people's eyes, very challenging to run against a 22-year incumbent. My feeling was, once that people had asked me to run for this position, and once I made that decision, I was not going to waffle.
DeYoung was elected to the Vermilion County Board 2 years ago. She has a background as a social worker and served on the Oakwood School Board, and she sees herself as more of a mediator rather than a yeller and complainer.
Without sounding disrespectful, loudness is not always effective. Not that those are not necessarily natural reactions to the drama that's going on in Springfield. I just, in my opinion, don't believe that they are the most effective when you're looking at trying to build working relationships.
Black says people are mistaken if they think his antics on the floor carry over into his daily interactions with lawmakers, even his Democratic rivals. And he says those cultivated relationships are what makes him effective, even as a member of the minority.
You use those contacts and that relationship, not what you see on television, but in committee and before we go into session. You visit with them in their offices. You talk to them about some of your issues and concerns. So you can get things done.
Black points to a new ethics law he co-authored this year, but he's often expressed frustration on the floor, saying the legislative process has imploded in the past year. That's where DeYoung and the Democrats want to pounce.
Choice out. You get either donkey you want. All right, hold those up. Banner. Yeah, now. All right, what do you get for it?
A recent charity auction near Oakwood got party faithful to open their wallets for DeYoung's campaign. Dave Ryan was there. His wife furnished pies for the event, and he wonders just how much Black has been able to do.
That's why I think it's time for a change. And Lori, if she was elected, she'd be in the majority party. And I think she could accomplish quite a bit.
The auction raised a few dollars at a time for DeYoung's campaign. She brought in a respectable $25,000 up to the last full campaign report, still far short of Black's $125,000. Champaign County GOP Chairman Jason Berrickman says Black's constituent service has won him that support.
Whether it's funds that need to come back to the district or a problem that needs addressed by the state for someone or some entity, a business or otherwise in that district, those concerns are being heard in Springfield because of his leadership.
Both candidates say they advocate boosting the state funding level for education in order to reduce property taxes. Black says when his party held power in Springfield, it didn't pass because of opposition from suburban Republicans. Now he points to intra-party gridlock.
The Democrat majority in Springfield don't trust this governor. They don't trust him with a capital plan. They don't trust him with additional tax resources because they aren't convinced that he, in fact, will put it into education. So we get nothing done.
DeYoung says any income tax increase should be graduated, different levels for different incomes. Black says that can't be done, though, without amending or changing the state constitution. By the way, Black favors a constitutional convention to make changes. DeYoung opposes it, saying it would be too costly. Another point of contention is mandating not just a minimum wage, but what DeYoung calls a living wage, enough for someone to reasonably survive on. She says she understands resistance from small businesses who have backed Black's opposition to hiking the minimum wage in the past.
However, in our economy in Vermilion County, if people don't have enough money in their pocket to spend, that's going to have just as negative an impact on businesses.
Black says a 50-state minimum wage might make sense, but he worries about Illinois losing jobs across the Indiana border. As for his own job, Bill Black says he would serve out the 2-year term if he's elected and not hand it to a Republican successor halfway through. That is, unless Lori DeYoung makes that circumstance unnecessary come next week. Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast is pretty simple for the two-state area today. Mostly sunny, with highs ranging from 48 in northeast Indiana to 62 in southwest Illinois, 58 in Champaign-Urbana today, with winds from the west to northwest at 8 to 16 miles an hour. Clear skies overnight tonight, lows between 28 in northeast Indiana and 38 in west central and southwest Illinois, 33 in the Champaign-Urbana area. For tomorrow, sunny again, highs from 56 in northeast Indiana to 68 in western Illinois, 64 in the Champaign-Urbana area. Clear tomorrow night, the low 44, sunny and 68 again on Friday. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 64. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 29th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.